stop by here.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia in the tri-state area, as well as on the World Wide Web by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link right on the right-hand side of the page. Well, there has been so much talk going on after the debate. Many people are speaking this way and that way, and I will tell you, this is going to be a very interesting election. At this point, no matter what happens on November the 6th, I'm asking all of you to remain committed, supporting the efforts of the Buy American Made campaign and supporting the products that are made here in the USA. Why do I say that? Well, because when you do that, you're helping keep people in America on the job, replacing the items that you're purchasing. And as I said so many times, circulating our dollars here in the USA keeps our people employed. And most importantly, it's good for the local as well as the national economy. Now, I want to ask our engineer if he would kindly play the commentary that I used during my regular Saturday broadcast, and this was on September the 29th. I'm going to ask our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, if he would kindly play my commentary from Saturday, September the 29th, where I'm encouraging national elected officials to direct all of their efforts in the small business, medium size, and large business to the 29 million businesses operating right now here in the USA. And ladies and gentlemen, during this political campaign, we have seen and heard more than enough advertisements telling us what is wrong with the other candidate, but we have not seen the candidate's plans documenting what they would do to make things right in America again. Americans more than ever need elected leaders that will lift us up and guide us out of the recession into a new industrial and technological revolution here in the USA. We need elected leaders that will help us understand why America is where it is today and show us their plans to get private sector businesses working together to restore our manufacturing industries, service jobs, and the innovation needed to restore and maintain lasting jobs. In a nation with 314 million people, we need 188 million full and part-time jobs, not just the 142 million we have today. Candidates for president should be directing all of their efforts to helping unite America's 29 million businesses right now, so millions of new jobs can be restored. In fact, if all local, statewide, and national candidates and current office holders set a goal to work with America's private sector businesses to increase production, sales, and services, America's businesses would certainly benefit immensely, and America's employment situation would change dramatically. Americans want jobs and job creators, not talk that will be forgotten once the election is over. And supporters of the Buy American Made campaign have been speaking up for American workers and purchasing more items made by millions of American businesses. And by doing this, we are circulating more American dollars in the USA and helping more of America's 29 million registered private sector businesses re-employ workers and expand job opportunities for millions of others. This is Michael Blihash, and I welcome you to email me your comments and suggestions. My email link is located on the front page of AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com. And as always, I invite you to listen to the live broadcast or rebroadcast of American Workers Radio. There is a schedule right on the front of our internet site, go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, that was my commentary from Saturday, September the 29th, and I must say it received a tremendous amount of responses from people. And it's very true. We have 314 million people living in America right now. When you take away the retired as well as the young people still in school, you need about 188 million jobs for America to be at a full employment basis. I hear so many of these statistics, but unfortunately, they're not really going to help America's economy because there are a lot of part-time jobs, seasonal jobs that'll be coming and going. And after the first of the year, things are going to go south again. In our second part of the program today, I'm going to be welcoming Larkin Connolly, and he is going to give me some of his thoughts. As you know, Larkin is involved in the SCORE. It's a small business group helping people to get back into business. One of the biggest things that I'm seeing and hearing from people directly who are considering business opportunities and those in business is that all they know is that they're finding ways to tax us rather than finding ways for us to use the tax dollars that they're getting in Washington to promote business ideas, help employ people locally. And this is where we have to do a whole new thing in our business. When Larkin gets on, I'm going to ask him about what he thought of the debates. And as I said on my last program, I'm not giving full opinion until I see all the debates. And at this time, we're going to go to some messages. So hold on, call around, invite family members and friends to tune in. We're here at 860 AM Radio and on the internet at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Machak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Machak speaks both English and Polish.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish, and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax-deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the National Office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to American Workers Radio. And during the break, I was looking at the front page of our internet site, and I found what's on there is very, very interesting. And that is why I think more and more people are spreading the word, because we are trying to spread a positive message. For those of you that are on the internet, make sure that you spread the word that our broadcast is a national network promoting American businesses and American-made products. We're going to be doing a lot more promoting businesses, especially with the holiday season coming up. And we just got over another Small Business Weekend, which is located right on the front page on the right side. And we've gotten a lot of little businesses reporting to us that they have seen some increase, some interest in supporting local businesses. Now, of course, that will help the local people. As I mentioned in the commentary, we need jobs for our people in communities. Saying they're going to have part-time jobs at the mall or whatever, that's all fine. But how about sustaining jobs, jobs that they will be able to have for the next 5 years, 10 years, before they have to be jumping around or unemployed again? Also on the front page, there are some thoughts about supporting American workers. And there's also something very, very interesting. And that is Wall Street drives gas prices up. That's a very interesting video. I encourage you to go to our internet site at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And right on the bottom, just scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see this extremely interesting video. In fact, I am going to ask our engineer if he would play that video for you. You may not be able to see it, but the message is very clear.
Government watchdog who says that you can bring down gas prices by cracking down on Wall Street. He claims that every time you fill up your tank, up to $15 goes straight into the pockets of traders. And tonight, the newest member of our ABC News team, Mark Greenblatt, an award-winning investigator from Houston, joins us for the first time with that story.
You already know part of this story.
Outrageous, and I think they're too high.
Because you pay for it every time you fill up. But as gas prices go up more...
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Commissioner Bart Chilton is fighting back. He's one of Wall Street's top regulators, sitting on the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And he's speaking out now, warning much of the problem is actually made in the USA. Ground zero, Wall Street, where he says big banks gambling on oil are spiking the prices that you pay at the pump.
There aren't any markets without speculators. It's the excessive speculation we're concerned about.
Chilton got a hold of this Wall Street research report, which actually spells out just how much extra the price of oil goes up because Wall Street gambles on it. And Chilton estimates it actually drives the price up as much as 22% before it's sold to be made into gas. So what does it all mean to you? According to Chilton, if you drive a Ford F-150 and fill up a typical tank of gas, it'll cost you an extra $14.56 that you pay right to Wall Street speculators, or more than $750 over the course of a year. For their part, the big banks say there's no evidence that their trading is driving up the price of oil. But Chilton doesn't buy that argument, which is why he and the commission that he sits on are trying to rein the speculation in. But get this, Wall Street is actually suing them now, trying to keep things status quo.
They don't want these limits. They want unbridled ability to speculate in these markets. And that's not good for consumers, it's not good for markets, and it's not good for our economy.
Now, Commissioner Chilton estimates that speculators actually play a part in as much as 90% of all trading that goes on during the day in energy futures markets, underscoring his point that this all impacts you in a big way right here at the pump. George?
Okay, Mark, thanks. And this is the same commission that warned about all the trading in high-risk mortgages. Welcome aboard. And a note about something that happened on our broadcast last night. We couldn't quite believe what we were seeing. In the 2 minutes it took Cecilia Vega to share her report, the gas price at the station behind her ticked up 10 cents. You all caught it. The video went viral, and so many of you told us today you couldn't believe the price could jump that high that fast. Well, it did, and today we learned that the other stations in the neighborhood have actually caught up too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you enjoyed that report from Bart Chilton. And I am on the phone now with a very distinguished gentleman who has worn a few hats over the years. And of course, I hope that he was listening to that report about the gas industry. Larkin, are you on the line?
I certainly am. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, first of all, everywhere I go, the price of gas is going up, and the people keep asking me, what am I going to do about it? And I say, well, what can I possibly do? It's the Wall Street speculators. And I say, well, I'll be meeting with a gentleman who's been in the business, and he may be able to offer some thoughts on it. Did you hear the full report from Mr. Chilton?
Yes, I did. And what Mr. Chilton says is accurate. I'm not quite sure that it's a complete story, but it is accurate.
Now,
the problem with gasoline prices in our country right now is not Wall Street, although they are, in fact, the party, through speculation, who is driving the price up. But the problem is one of pure supply and demand. We have not built a refinery in this country since sometime in the 70s. We have quadrupled the number of vehicles on the road. We have chased the demand way, way, way up, and there is no supply. We've given Wall Street an opportunity to get involved in bidding this up. It's not domestic refined product that they're bidding up. It really isn't. It's the product that both the crude and the finished gasoline that's being shipped in here from foreign soil that gives Wall Street a chance to grab it on its way in and then start speculating.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes some sense.
Yes, it does.
You take that problem away if you build a refinery and you start processing our crude. We have crude all over the place.
That's what I've been hearing. Now, Larkin, would that Alaskan pipeline help us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just in Texas, as a matter of fact, earlier this week, and one of their refineries down there is in turnaround. I think if you take that refinery down, and I believe there's been a fire at a Chevron refinery out in California, they just can't get the product out fast enough.
Yes, I saw that.
So,
in fact, I saw that on the news where they were reporting
the
prices went up a dollar.
Driving the price up so as to stop the demand. I mean, there's if they kept the price low without creating this stop the demand issue, we'd start having outages the same that we had in the 1970s when the embargo really did create outages, and we had to go into lotteries and that type of thing.
I remember that. I remember that. I was a youngster at that time, and I remember I couldn't even get my car filled up. Had to have odd and even days
exactly
to get it.
Exactly.
It went according to your license plate. But Larkin, from the 1970s to date, what could have been done to resolve this dependency on foreign oil?
Well, I think to have mined our own oil. There's oil in the northern shelf, and I understand ecologists not wanting to protect squirrels and birds. I understand that, but there has been no severe interruption in the landscape of Alaska. There have been a leak here or there. Those things happen, but the Valdez was a severe human error. It's an issue of us processing our own crude instead of sending billions and billions of dollars a month to the Middle East for crude oil.
Hold on a moment.
There's one party that doesn't want that to happen because they want the new economy of battery-operated vehicles.
So that's not going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years. That's a long-term solution. We have to work today for today's people and see what we can do to make sure that our people have jobs now, not on another form of speculation. Can you hold on a moment? We'll be back after these few messages. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Steam My Carpets, and they serve commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzechinski at Steam My Carpets at 1-877-778-3263 or visit them on the internet at steammycarpets.com. And also being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club, located at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. We're back on American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, and today I have a very distinguished gentleman discussing many, many issues in the past, and today we're talking about the gas prices, which is unbelievable. But I would like to ask Mr. Connolly to first give a brief outline about what he does and also how he thinks things are going in the business community.
Well, that's really open-ended, but I appreciate the opportunity, Michael, for you to allow me to tell everybody a little bit about SCORE, but I'm involved with an initiative here in Philadelphia called SCORE Philadelphia, originally founded in 1964. As a resource partner to the Small Business Administration, and as a resource partner, we are 55 strong in Philadelphia, all retired businessmen and women, and that demographic has changed a lot because probably half of our chapter is not retired. So we've got experienced businessmen and businesswomen who are here to help small business people either start a small business, grow a small business, sustain a small business with professional help and programs, and we also do seminars. Your question as to how it's going is rather loaded, and I can it's difficult for me not to be anything less than candid, but it is terribly difficult to start a small business and almost impossible to even maintain one if the small business person doesn't have access to capital. And that, quite frankly, is the problem that we face today.
That is a big problem.
There's just no money on the street. Banks talk about how willing they are to lend money to small businesses, but it doesn't happen. The rules and the regs are pretty stiff. And I think, personally, I take my hat off and put my personal hat on. I think that that the issue is a lack of confidence. I think there's just no confidence in the American economy right now, and banks, faced with that, coupled with the fact that in a retail environment, the banks do well with credit cards and all the rest of the retail banking that they're doing, that they're just sitting back with safes full of money. I think I'm waiting for something to happen that raises the confidence level of the consumer, the small business person, the banks. Everybody needs to take a deep breath and see that everything will be right, and if we can get back to the business, that we'll be okay.
Larkin, we already witnessed the first debate for president, and I feel that it was really informative. But it was only an hour and a half. Although this debate was unbelievably informative, I thought I learned a lot. I myself feel that there should be 10 debates or more, and they should be 2 hours, and they should focus on the problems of America. Our people are facing a tremendous amount of hardship, and we need to get back to reality. That was, I thought this debate really let it be clear that the people running for office on not only the presidential level, but the state level, the senators, the congressmen, everybody has to get together to change this whole idea. I don't believe 3 presidential debates and 1 for vice president is really going to show us what these people are all about. What do you feel about that?
No, I agree. I think it should be much more extensive. I think that each of these, I like your idea, and I think each one of those debates ought to be on the economy, foreign policy, states, what you know, a myriad subjects that can be covered. I will say this: I found those the debate you referred to very, very interesting. I thought, fortunately or unfortunately, that one of the candidates was prepared and the other one was not. I don't know what that says, but neither one of the people debating threw around those numbers that and those comments that if a fact checker were brought in, they would be disqualified. They seem to avoid some of that, although there were some accusations made on both sides. But to say that either one of the candidates is going to do away with Medicare or that either one of the candidates is going to eliminate Social Security is just laughable.
It's foolishness.
That candidate's never going to be able to do that, and it's absolutely foolish.
But, you know,
it's
Larkin,
kind of political rhetoric that makes you raise your eyebrows and say, you know, I'm tired of listening to all this. Let's talk about facts.
Facts. You know, Larkin, there are too many political attack ads on the air without an opportunity for the candidates to really address the ads against them in just more than 30-second or a 1-minute soundbite. That's why I suggested that we need 10 or 15 debates. America needs major change, and if we want to know who we're really voting for, we have to demand visibility, accountability, and plans that are going to make us feel that when we go into the voting booth, we really know what this person is all about.
And you know, I have a specific way that I watch events like this. I don't particularly care for any of the networks. I don't care for any of the news channels because none of them seemingly can give me a who, what, when, where, why something happened or what was said. They always have to lend their verse to it. And MSNBC is on the liberal side. Fox News is on the conservative side. I prefer to watch it on C-SPAN. I just want to see the raw data. I want to hear what they have to say. I don't have to have a talking head come on and say that we had 15 people in the room and they all got a chance to vote. They didn't like this comment and they liked that comment. I really don't care. I find this to be 4-fee television. They're just trying to sell ads.
And that is why I encourage more debates, because if we had 15 debates like we saw last week, then I think that we would have a better idea about what's happening to America. You know, Larkin, each week I put out a commentary, and I do my best to change it around as much as I can, but some of the stuff has to be repeated over and over again. But many of the candidates should take a look at what is really happening in America. When they say the job rate, the numbers went down and all, those are seasonal jobs. Those are not the jobs that are going to be able to help support families and put children in school and clothe them. It's simply not that kind of job. Every year at this time, when they're getting ready for fall merchandise sales, as well as for the Christmas and holiday season, there's always an uptick in jobs. So that's a big, big falsehood. I want to see major jobs in America. I want to see industries restored. I want to see the candidates tell us exactly what they would do tomorrow if elected to bring more jobs into the country. The fact that America has 213 million people and we have 142 million people employed is itself very discouraging.
Very, very discouraging. And the jobs really aren't out there, and the industry is not willing to make that commitment. It's just a wicked cycle, and it all comes back to confidence.
You know, Larkin, as we were talking a minute ago, I said to myself, if any candidate, be it for Senate or Congress or President, got the nation's big businesses and small business groups together and said, how do we really need to change things to bring business back and keep what we have here right now? Through the Buy American Made campaign, that's all I'm really trying to do is urge people to go to the stores and pick up the stuff we have on the shelves and on the hangers and, you know, wherever that's with an American Made label on it, because you're keeping those people working by circulating the goods that they're producing and they have a job. Bringing in stuff in containers from all over the world and just putting it on our store shelves totally eliminates the manufacturing portion, and all we're doing is paying sales clerks, stockers, managers of the stores, but the actual skilled jobs are not there.
I agree. And we do live in the world economy. There's no question about that, but I think the auto industry gave us a lesson, because do we have a Toyota plant in this country with American workers staffing it? Of course we do. Do we have Kia plants? Yes, we have a lot of foreign automotive plants. For some odd reason, we've just allowed this to get away from us, and I think that you don't talk about going with the jobs that have been sent overseas. Why? Why have they been sent overseas? What is it that makes it attractive for people to take a job and send it to Mexico?
Well, that is something I would like to see in one of the 10 or 12 or 15 debates done by the candidates. Now, maybe they couldn't have total national coverage, but they could go on the cable networks and it could then be replayed on YouTube. People have to sit down and start getting more involved in what is happening in America. We simply can't just sell our country down the drain.
I agree. And it's all because we are functioning in a world economy. There's no question about that anymore. We should face that very fact. But there is a way that we can work as a world economy instead of working as a lopsided economy and turning our country into nothing but a consuming state.
You know, Larkin, you and I have the opportunity to have contact with real people. I see that the political candidates, they're all in staged situations. They come at a certain time, shake hands, give a speech, and they go. They really are not talking to the people in the communities. They're not talking directly to the business people, trying to keep a business in a small community alive. They're not talking with the bigger businesses who are being, you know, overwhelmed with outsourced products. And Larkin, by the way, I'm not against 50-50 in our country. I'd love to see 50% imports and 50% American made. Can you imagine what that would do for our economy if we could get another 24 million people employed? Well, that could happen if we get just 50% of our jobs back. Larkin, can you hold on?
Yes, I can.
I'll be back in just a few minutes after these messages.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
The office of Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. Hey, Larkin, I would like to ask you a few questions because in my travels, everyone stops me and asks me what is going on in America. Why have things changed so dramatically? And people ask me, and I'll ask you the same question. Maybe you can inform me and give me another point of view that I can share. Is it national leadership, Larkin?
I think it's the polarization of national leadership. But yes, it's national leadership.
Do you think they're in office too long?
I think I don't know how you control it. I am a strong proponent of term limits. Absolutely powerful. The fact that we have a gentleman, smart or stupid, good politician or bad politician, sitting in the Senate making decisions about our country until they're 94 years old, or serving, 46 continuous years in the Senate. It's just bizarre.
You know what is also, when people say to me, we discussed that once before on the broadcast, people say to me, not only can't we get them out of office, after they're in office, we have to pay Medicare and their medical for life. We have to pay all of their retirement benefits and everything for life. And some people say they like the idea of term limits. That would help to let people come into the system who have ideas to share and give them 8, 10, 12 years, and then they should be on their way. There should be no pension involved in this type of public service. And I don't know what to think about that. People ask me that, and I say...
The other thing that strikes me is the number of congressmen and senators who tell these reminiscent-style stories about how they got sworn in for the first time to the U.S. Senate. They had to call up their brother and borrow enough money so they could buy a suit.
and they retire 30 years later, and they have millions and millions and millions of dollars in the bank. They own properties in the Bahamas, Bermuda, Florida, New York. They own properties all over the country. How did this happen? Even on a $100,000, I guess they're now at $140,000 a year salary. I don't know how that happens.
Well, that's a very good point. And many people point to the word greed. Is it greed and power? And as you said, some of these people, 30 and 40 years in the in these elected office, and there's just no chance of them leaving unless it's feet first. I mean, it's that type of an attitude. Some of these people that I speak to, some are very angry with me that I'm even bringing up these subjects on a radio program. They're saying, well, why are you discussing this? I said, I'm only speaking about what the people are speaking to me about. And I want you to know what the people have to say. They want to see new leadership, not the same old, same old. It's got to be change. Change in order for us to have some kind of a future.
There's no question of that. None whatsoever. And, you know, when you, I've been to way too many political meetings, unfortunately, where I've heard it said, literally quoted, where I've heard it said, you know, it's all about getting elected. The truth is all about getting elected, or saying what you have to say is all about getting elected.
And, you know, Larkin, as I get complaints from some of the elected officials that they, you know, want to hear me speak more positively about their 35 years in office and this and that, I say, well, why don't you come on air and I'll be happy to speak to you? And they say, oh, no, I don't, usually don't do that kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe I can have a staff member or whatever, you know, represent me because I'm always so busy. I say, what, you could reach thousands through the radio broadcast. And I think it's a good opportunity. That's why I was saying earlier, it would be good if the candidates did 10 or 12 debates, because one, two, or three is going to give us a better idea. But a series of at least 10 would really show us where this person is and where we could be going under their leadership. That's a to me, it's a very important issue.
You know, you couple that with one of my ballistic reactions the other day when I heard that the state of New Jersey paid their legislators to sit around and develop a seatbelt law for dogs.
Yeah, I heard that. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Seatbelt laws for dogs. Really? And I just thought, yeah, come on. We've completely lost our minds.
You know, completely. Larkin, do you agree that national leaders don't even notice that the American population has grown and that people need jobs to support themselves? It's just all taxes, and how are we going to manipulate this, you know, fund to pay for that fund without looking at the real issue? People need jobs. When they have jobs, they'll pay into the system. When they pay into the system, they will not have to borrow money, but we also will get those people off programs because they don't have jobs.
Exactly. And our politicians, especially those in Washington, live in a bubble. They their connection to reality is so vague right now, it's not even funny. And it can't be. They spend so much time on any one of 15 news outlets on television. It's just craziness. It's absolutely crazy. And that atmosphere has got to create a bubble for them to where I don't think they have the vaguest idea what the public wants or what's good for us.
And because they are living in that bubble, there's really no concern for the American people, because once they get elected, they're secure in their own right. And they don't really want to get into the public again. That's why I would like to see more of these town meetings going on. I'm sure that the cable networks would make that possible. Even the presidents, if they had 10 debates and 4 town meetings where they could go and meet with small business owners, with the people unemployed, to be very respectful of their candidacy, but also to get the candidates to speak honestly to the people that are asking the questions. This is too much of a structured environment as far as I'm concerned. You get up there, the moderator asks the questions, and the next thing you know, you answer. I thought this first debate was very enlightening to many people. I received an enormous amount of responses as a result of the debate, and I think that the next debate is going to really show us where we're going in the future.
Well, one of the candidates clearly was either not on his game, not prepared. I've heard some people, snippy opponents, say that see how he gets when he doesn't have his monitors. I don't know if that's true. All I know is what I saw, what you saw. And one was on his game and one wasn't. The one that wasn't on his game better be on his game the second time around, because I think if this country sees another display like that, then these debates truly are going to have an effect on the outcome.
Well, see, that is why I encourage 10 debates, because you can rehearse well for a second or a third debate.
Right.
But if you had 10 debates, you'd be able to look at all 10 debates and then say, well, this person has a long-term vision. And that's really what has been lacking in America. You know, I work in social services. So dealing with the people that I have worked with, especially in the ethnic communities, none of these people are interested in being on any type of government program. The people on Social Security, that's a different category because they earn their money and they're collecting. But a lot of the younger people want to work. The calls I receive, the emails that we get at our agency, and going into different various events in the community, that is the main thing. People never ask me, how can I get onto programs? They're asking, how can I get a job to avoid programs? That's the most important thing that I hear, and that's why I'm encouraged to do what I do.
Well, I congratulate you now. I have before, and I will again. American Workers Radio is wonderful, and it has its eye on the ball. You certainly are focused on the problems, and the answers are very obvious. It's just a matter of getting everybody to step away from this absolute need to get elected, this absolute need to produce change. You know, let's just focus on, let's get a statesman in somewhere.
You know, Larkin, there's through the process that we have now, where there's just a lot of political ads on television, it's all these stabbing ads that are telling you this one's no good, that one's no good. I would like to see every candidate, local, statewide, as well as the presidential candidates, in many, many debates so that people have a chance to see them, access them, ask them real problems. Let them know what's happening in their local communities. Not only see the candidates when they're running for a local office or a statewide office, and as I said, many people invite me to staged rallies and welcome parties and all. I'm not interested. I'm working in the field of social services. I rather deal with the people who are trying to stay self-sufficient. I'm not interested in all that shaking hands and hobnobbing and all that. That goes away once the election is done.
And to the end of your debates, yesterday, I think it was, found myself on two or three occasions saying to people, a little bit of political banter back and forth, who's right, who's wrong, who you're for, who you're against. And I find myself in those conversations oftentimes saying, so clearly you're telling me that you're making a decision to vote on the President of the United States based on what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can we come up with some substantive reasons of why or why we don't vote for somebody? And those substantive reasons would come out glaringly if you had a bank of 10 debates. It would be pretty tough. You know, I had a boss once that told me when he knew somebody wasn't doing the job, he had the perfect way of identifying it, especially for the person who was. He would go out and ride in their territory. He'd call them up and say, I'm going to ride with you today. And the guy would say, great. So the boss would get into the car, and they'd ride around, visit different places.
get out of the car that day and say, by the way, I'm going to ride with you again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, oh, okay. So you get back in the car the next day, fewer places seen, fewer places to go, a lot more chatter. You get out of the car, and his parting remark would be, by the way, I'm going to ride with you again tomorrow.
You have seen that show, Undercover Boss.
Yes.
So that's a good idea, getting these people out to see what the real working world is. Yep. Not all the fanciness of the Capitol buildings and the local state houses. This is totally, living in a dream world. We have to get the Wizard of Oz out from behind the curtain and put him back so that the people can see him and know it's time for us to grow up and get involved. Can you hold on a second, Mort Larkin?
I sure can.
I'll be back with you in just a moment. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Serena's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center has two locations to serve you. One at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, call Serena's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. That's 215-535-6606. Well, listening to those advertisements, it just reminds me to say thank you to them for advertising on American Workers Radio, because they are all small businesses welcoming people to support what they have to offer. And Larkin, If I was able to get you an interview with the candidates at a special debate, what is something that you would ask them as the director of SCORE? What would you want to ask them what they would could do for small businesses?
Well, that's a great question, and not one that I've thought of because I guess I never expected to have the opportunity. But I clearly would ask them about their posture on small business. It's very easy to say I'm a small business a supporter, and I like small businesses. But, the reality of it is there's not enough help out there right now for small business. There's a ton of help, but it's not being helped financially. If I want to start a button-making business, I probably can find some mentoring help in the city of Philadelphia. It's a hugely well-served community. But, mentoring will take you so far. Someone has to step up to the plate, come up with some cash.
Right.
But it takes money. So my mention to them is I know that we have problems. The last time we all could turn around and look at our government and say, this is really, really great. We don't have any deficits. As a matter of fact, we have surpluses. How far back is that? That goes back to Bill Clinton. And what people fail to realize is that Bill Clinton didn't have anything to do with that, as far as I'm concerned. And Bush didn't have anything to do with it. They both had, to a degree, a small part to do with it, but not a huge part to do with that. It goes back to business was healthy. We were in the dot-com. There was so much revenue pouring into the federal government, they ran out of ways to get rid of it. That truly is what it comes down to.
That's right.
So they've got to realize that business is healthy. If a healthy business is a healthy country, it's going to generate the kind of revenues that the government just loves.
And quite frankly, Larkin, the people that I deal with, they want jobs. And that's the most important thing I can say. They want jobs. Things would be better in this country if we could get 24 to 30 million jobs back. Quite frankly, as I mentioned several times in the past, of 314 million people in America, 142 million working at this moment, we really should have around 188 million full and part-time jobs available. Can you imagine what America would be like if we could restore just half of those jobs in the next 2 or 3 years? I think we would have
to restore those jobs. You have to start businesses. You have to get the businesses going, and the businesses then turn around and hire.
Exactly. And I want to hear the candidates tell me what are they going to offer businesses, just as people are coming to you for advice as to how to open a business, because Larkin is the type of guy that gives you the bottom line. If you're not qualified to open a business, he'll tell you point blank that this is not something you should be doing. But if you are, he will take you from A to Z so that your business will be a success. And that's really important, Larkin. And your participation on American Workers Radio has really been very important to us. Until next Wednesday at 11 or Saturday for the regular variety program, I wish you the very best. David Zenya.